here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a great spotlight on the Southwest today. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. This show is in loving memory of Pam Hodges. Thanks so much to their family for their support of the kinds of shows that we do around her memory for the Four-Leggeds. And today that's just what we are going to be talking about, how to find your new best friend, the four-legged kind. Joining me to share all of this with you is someone that knows quite a bit about just about any four-legged I ever bring up to her, because she is an animal lover extraordinaire. She is truly an expert on the subject. Please join me in welcoming my in-studio guest, Karen Hollisch. Karen is the Director of Development and Marketing for Pima Animal Care Center, and as I said, is really a huge lover of all four-legged. She lets them do things to her that I'm not exactly as loving about, like, you know, shed on her and drool on her and
breathe in your face,
all those things. But I'm getting there. I'm really getting there.
Raising your threshold,
right? And I do care, and I do try to make a difference. So it's great to have you with us again. And for this show, we're going to focus on you and all the amazing things
Thank
that
you.
Your organization does. We had you on with Laura Coffey. It was so fun.
That was so fun.
But
Thank
I wanted
you.
To really get the word out there about Pima Animal Care Center, about the challenges you face, and about some of the important ways our listeners might be able to get involved to help with some of those ongoing challenges.
Thank you so much for having us.
We really appreciate it.
I know
you love to talk about it, and I'd love to start asking. So let's start with the obvious. It's always good, but you never should assume. Tell us the big picture of Pima Animal Care Center and all that it does.
Sure. So we are the county-run shelter in Pima County, Arizona. I know you have listeners all over, correct?
Yes.
So
yes.
Pima County in southeastern Arizona is a huge county. It's about 9,000 square miles. So we cover a vast geographical area, and we do all things pet-related for our community. We operate a shelter that takes in about 18,000 pets a year. We perform animal law enforcement services for our community. So that means that we have officers on staff who go out and investigate reports of pet cruelty and neglect or hoarding cases. We provide about 7,000 low-cost or free spay-neuter surgeries each year to owned pets in the community or community cats, which are free-roaming cats. And we provide outreach and education services to our community, too, so that we can reach our goal of creating a compassionate Pima County for people and pets.
So when you say outreach services, go into that a little bit more. What kind of outreach?
Right. So we have specially trained volunteers who will visit school groups and go and talk about proper pet care and how to be safe around pets and how to really love your pets in your family. And we also have, you know, our field services officers, and they provide services to our citizens to help them keep their pets and keep their pets safe. So we're really in the middle of a philosophical shift within our field services division, also known as enforcement. Instead of our officers going to take pets from pet owners in the community, they're really focusing on how to help people keep their pets. So if we go to someone's house and their dog keeps getting out, we don't want to take that dog and bring it to our shelter where we already have more than 500 pets. We want to help you fix your fence. We want to give you a dog house. We want to give you a water bowl. We want to give you a leash. So that's a bit of the way we are changing our focus to be on outreach and empowerment versus just sheltering homeless pets.
That's huge.
It is huge, and it's a big job.
That's huge, and I'm so glad you brought that up. I mean, it was the definite 100% goosebumps reaction, and I tell people you can't fake goosebumps.
Right.
Karen, that's really important.
And we're in the early stages of this, I'd say. You know, we have, across the country, county shelters have been seen as dog catchers, right? And that's not what we want to be. We don't want, of course, we want to take in dogs and cats who are truly at risk. But we believe that most people really want to do right by their pets. and want to keep their pets and care about their pets. So we just want to empower them to do that. And I have a really exciting announcement.
Oh,
can I tell you?
Should I ring the bell? I mean, I always like to ring the bell. It's like every once in a while. Yes. I haven't done that in a long time. Yes. But yes, I'm so happy.
So we recently, we've always been nestled under the Pima County Health Department. Not always, but for the last X number of years. Pima Animal Care Center has become its own department, reporting directly to the county administration. This takes place July 1.
Oh, that is really big. Late-breaking news on Mrs. Green's world.
And July 10th, our new director starts. We've hired a woman named Kristen Auerbach, and she was the deputy. And you're going to love this because Austin has a reputation in many regards, including in sustainability. But she was the second in command at Austin Animal Services, which is a city shelter in Austin, Texas. And she's coming to be our number one. And she's awesome. And she is on board with everything we've been trying to do. And she's going to help us do it.
I am blown away. I'm rarely speechless on the air. I'm not over dramatizing this at all, but I'm really thrilled to hear that.
I just got back from four days in Austin, seeing what they've done there. And, you know, we're at a 90% save rate right now. Austin's at 98. And they're the same as us. They take in, they can't, you know, turn anybody away. They try to help every pet in need. Their government, you know, they're the government shelter. And so she's here to help us get from where we are now to that. So
can everybody out there listening know why I have such admiration and respect for the woman sharing this show with me? She's the real deal, and I knew it from the time I met her. It matters, and you got a little emotional there, so then I start getting a little emotional there because it is a no-kill policy.
It is.
And if you think about that and getting to 90% with 18,000 animals that have to be fed and their poop has to be cleaned up and their pee has to be cleaned up, let's be honest, it's the whole deal. Their pens have to be clean. It's so overwhelming to me to even think about.
Oh,
excuse me. That was caught in my throat, not ready to cry. So
it's all good though.
It's so good. Tears of joy.
Tears of joy.
That is really, really amazing. And I'm so happy, and we will do everything we can
to
get this broadcast out there, to boost the post, to get it on Facebook, to share the really good word. I'm overwhelmed, and we'll have to have her come to one of our adoption events at Chapman.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things that we do there at the Chapman Automotive Group that brings a lot of joy. I mean, you should have seen this.
All those pets went home almost, right?
Almost every all single of them, one. The ones that weren't. So,
you know, Mrs. Green, I didn't tell you, but so about a month ago, we had an adoption event at Chapman, and I was flying to Austin to see what our new director had done there, and I was seated next to some people who had a little chihuahua on their lap. Now, it turns out that back at home, they also had a dog that they had adopted at the Chapman event.
No way.
No, and they were so happy, and they showed me photos, and they had renamed him, and I said, well, were you coming to adopt? And they're like, no, we were coming to look for a car, and we left with so-and-so, and it was just like, they were these really nice people who obviously really love their pets, and I wanted to tell you right away.
You did not tell me
that.
It
was really cool.
I will share this with the entire Chapman Community Green Team. They will love to hear it. And Rose, one of the member on the Green Team, there was one little dog that we all loved, and we didn't understand why it didn't get adopted, and only three dogs didn't get adopted.
Right.
And it's going out. We all have, like, you know, tears in our ears. And then she called the next day, and it had gotten adopted.
Awesome.
So we were like, okay.
Whew. Awesome.
But it was, and I think it was 15 dogs that day. It might have been 12, between 12 and 15.
It was pretty awesome.
That's a good day for
it. It was
four.
A good day.
But that's, I mean, I'm like thrown off. I don't even know what to talk about after that news. It's really good news, and it's your own identity and control over your future, not getting lost. And I can't wait to meet her. We'll have a show where she's on and
she's
talks
pretty,
about her
she's
vision.
She's visionary. She's young, she's hungry, she's a spark plug, and it's going to be a really good thing for Pima Animal Care Center.
It's going to be a good thing for all of us, for our
community.
It
is. It's going to be good for the community.
It's really great, because how we treat our animals speaks volumes of how we show up for human beings on the planet. I love it. Okay, let's talk about some of the other kinds of things. So I love going from a concept of not the dog catcher, but the dog helper.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just have a story. My friend Judy from Goodwill, they had this dog that kept visiting them.
Oh, really?
Judy. I love her, too. We'll have a little love fest for Judy. But I went to their office one day, and there was a dog in there, and they said it's exactly what you're talking about. These really nice people. The dog kept coming out. it kept coming over to their office. They're dog lovers, so they let the dog in, but that wasn't really acceptable, and they went over and talked to them. And finally, they did call someone, and they thought that these people were good people, but that they needed to figure out how to keep the dog in.
Right.
Because if not, it's going to get hit by a car.
Right.
It was the big dog wasn't going to get eaten by coyotes. Right. But they're sometimes just helping and instructing stuff that we might think is intuitive is a much better approach to build on their strengths and help them to not really do what is basically abusive.
And, you know, it's also one thing that I've been learning about is this concept of, instead of doing community outreach, which is where you sort of are flyering the community, pamphleting the community, imposing yourself on the community. It's community engagement. Instead of outreach, it's engagement. It's like, how do you meet people on their level? How do you connect with them in a way that what we're hoping for, which is to keep pets loved in their families, happens? So that's what, you know, it's going to be a long haul for us to get there, but that's where we want to be.
It's great. And this is a great way for people that care to hear the story and get into the down low. So the number one way to help out, to be a good partner in the community, is adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So a person comes to the, do we want to call it the pound? No, we want the care center.
No,
the
we
care
don't want to call
center.
It the pound.
The care,
no,
see, let's change that language. Oh my God, I take it back. Can we rewind this tape? So they go to Pima Animal Care Center,
right,
which is such a much better, wonderful concept.
Right.
And they look and they find a dog. And what's the fee? How does it work? What do you find out about the person?
We try to really do a low barrier adoption process.
Right.
We believe most people are going to be good pet caretakers, and we just need to match them with the right pet. So
right,
we don't
right.
have like a 10-page adoption application. We don't do home visits, and our fees are really reasonable. Our adoption fees for a dog, cat, puppy, or kitten range between $0 to $50 every day. If you adopt an adult dog, there is a $17 annual dog license. That's a fee that
right,
we always have
right,
to charge.
Right.
And so it's pretty easy. We try to have all of our pets spayed and neutered before you come to adopt. If you pick a pet who hasn't yet had that surgery, we say, okay, the pet's yours. We're going to fix the pet, come back in 1 or 2 days, and you can have your altered pet. So right now, that's a process. It's pretty easy. We also have, if it's not as convenient for your listeners, to go to our shelter, which is on the far west side of town. We're at 4000 North Silverbell Road, so about 2.5 miles north of the Grant and Silverbell intersection.
Right.
We also have cats and kittens at 5 PetSmart stores around our community every day. And we also go to Petco at the river. And what would it be? River and...
It's River and... Is it River? It's not Campbell.
It's right by the Whole Foods.
By the Whole Foods.
It's really nice complex there. We take dogs there, I believe, on the first Sunday of every month, too. So you can
check... River and Craycroft?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay.
So we have a lot of off-site adoption locations, so that if you feel that the shelter might be a little far out of your way or overwhelming, you can go check out those spots, too.
And that makes it, like, meet people where they are and they're out shopping and
right.
they come home with a dog. I love that story about the Chihuahua, because I'm there always as a greeter. I get there early. People come early
right.
to the adoption events. I've learned that. If it starts at 10, people start showing up at about 9:15 because they have checked it out. They've gone to your Facebook page and whatever.
And
it really, it's exciting to see that. But to know... People come in and I say, hi, are you here to buy a car or to adopt a pet?
It's awesome. And then maybe they do both.
They do both.
And it's such a nice thing that you and Chapman do for our pets. And you offer snacks and things. And it's just those little things that are a draw for people. Free adoptions, snacks.
Right.
They come out of the woodwork
right.
to save pets.
Have some food to eat, and we take care of your volunteers.
And these people were so nice that adopted this dog. It was just awesome.
I really love it. I want to have them on the show. Mm-hmm. I'm so not kidding.
I should have gotten their number.
But it's okay. And mm-hmm. that's so serendipitous. Out of a million people in Tucson, you sat next to them. There's a purpose for that. So what if someone doesn't want to have a dog? They don't really want to adopt. What are some of the other ways that they can get involved with the care center to help you and ease your burden or, you know, help meet some of the challenges that you face with that many animals every day.
Absolutely. So, you know, I do our fundraising. So I must say that one really easy way to help that you can help from your couch.
Money is always good.
But it really is. And it helps us really push our envelope between being a county pound, which we once were, to being a life-saving animal welfare organization, which we are, and we aspire to be even better. So you can donate monetarily via our website, which is pima.gov/animalcare/give. You can donate via our Amazon wish list, which I think is really cool. You can just type Pima Animal Care Center into the Amazon browser and our wish list will pop up. And
really?
And we update that like in real time, depending on what our staff needs to do their jobs.
Like Amazon.com?
Mm-hmm. And you just type in Pima Animal Care Center, a list of everything our pets and our vets need is there, and you can buy something, and it gets shipped right to me, and it gets shipped to my team. So we make sure it goes to the right department in the shelter. And I don't know if you've ever worked with or for the government, but it can be really hard to get things purchased quickly.
Yes.
Because there are many rules to protect taxpayer dollars. So the Amazon wish list is like an awesome way for us to get what we need for the pets really quickly. And all donations to Pima Animal Care Center, whether it's a monetary donation, like a check you send us, or a gift you make through the website, or something you buy off the wish list, they're all tax deductible. So that's awesome, too, if that matters to you. And it matters to most people. And then, so there's that. So you can always give, no matter what.
And let's just press pause on that for a minute, because mm-hmm. I always like to remind people that having run nonprofits, having a nonprofit for Mrs. Green's World to help with some of our costs, every little bit counts. Don't think, I can't be a big donor. If you give $10 a month,
totally.
If your budget is $5 a month, mm-hmm. that recurring amount that doesn't show up hard in your budget is, and I do that more now, I do. It's like, I want to give $10 to this organization, I want to give 10, and if 100 people do it, it's $1,000 a month.
The sustaining members are just huge.
It is. It's really huge. And it's any amount.
And you can even do it. I think on Amazon, you can sign up to send us a thing each month. So say we need puppy pads to save puppies in foster care. You can send a box of puppy pads once a month.
What's a puppy pad?
A puppy pad is like, it's like a pee-pee pad. It's like it's like a safe place for them to pee that doesn't get in your house.
Got it. So you just put it down. But that's awesome, too. That would encourage me. So it's a perfect segue. So money is good.
Right.
Money is really good. And let's be honest. I say to people that want to do trade, well, Wells Fargo doesn't take trade. You have bills that you have to pay that are real hard costs, dogs that you have to feed. So money really helps. But there are other ways for people that really might not have that.
Absolutely. So we always need volunteers. And we have, and there's no cost to volunteer. And we have volunteer roles in all of our departments. We, you know, the most popular thing people like to do is walk our dogs, which is hugely important because right now, we have over 300 dogs at our 4000 North Silverbell Road Center, and we want to get them all out for a walk. And so we rely exclusively on our volunteers to do that life-saving task. Volunteers can also help with kennel enrichment for our dogs. So it can be really, you know, as we've moved to a life-saving model and we try to give every pet as much time as they need to find a home, pets can suffer under the stress of being in a shelter. So they need things like toys delivered to their kennels. They need.
Is this kennel enrichment? You're coming up with all these terms that I absolutely love.
I guess I'm speaking the lingo.
No, yeah, but I love that.
It's enrichment in the kennel.
Isn't that a great thought?
Right. Well, it's like, imagine if you were just, you know, we're in Mrs. Green's World, like beautiful studio right now. But imagine if you were in here, we're in here for an hour today, right? Imagine if you were in here for 23 hours and 45 minutes, you know,
and
if you only got
no
out.
Color and no light and no exercise and no ability to get up. No,
so
that
you would need
be
someone to bring you treats and toys. So that's what our volunteers do.
Mrs. Green Enrichment.
Mrs. Green Enrichment. We'll bring you like a smoothie.
You should have brought a little doggy.
I should have. Next time I will. And then we.
And a puppy pad. Please.
And a puppy pad, please. Absolutely. Of course. We'll just hold it on the lap.
But kennel enrichment. So that's great. And how do you guide people to know what to do? Because that was actually going to be one of my questions.
A donor funded a trainer for us. So we recently hired our first trainer.
Like a dog trainer?
Yeah, like somebody who's in charge of helping keep our dogs healthy and emotionally. So, but it's, you know, it's strange. From my perspective, it's strange we didn't have one. Like when we just went to Austin, they had a training and behavior and enrichment team of 8 people. So we just got on board to hire our first. And also because of that donation, she's going to get an assistant. But so she's helping guide the volunteers in these important things. Like now all these volunteers who wanted to help with kennel enrichment, have someone to guide them. So it's awesome. So we have those volunteer opportunities. We also have adoption counselor opportunities, which is you're basically a matchmaker for homeless pets, which I find really rewarding.
What is that, Karen?
It is like
dogmatch.com?
I know. Well, it's all in person, though. You know, you say, what kind of cat are you looking for? You know, and then like, well, I really used to have this old cat who was fat and I loved her because she sat on my lap. And then I helped them find somebody like that. That's a super fun and rewarding way to help because you are the link between a pet leaving the shelter and
going to a really good home.
Right. And then we always need people to do enrichment with our cats too. So our cats, shelter stays in many ways are harder on cats than dogs because they can't get walked every day. So they really need people to, you know, dangle feather wands through their kennel bars and, you know, give them soft bedding and toys and treats and things like that. And, you know, if you can't, for whatever reason, work hands-on with the pets, like if you are allergic or just might be too difficult for you for whatever reason, we always have administrative type things that need to be done. So stuffing adoption packets, laminating things, helping me with writing thank you letters. So there's all sorts of opportunities to make a difference.
This is like, to me, I thought I knew a lot and I love everything you do. I admire and respect you as a person, but these are things that, in my opinion, most of us don't think about. We don't think of the cat that nobody can play with, even if people love cats.
Right.
And that if they did an hour a month, not even an hour a week, and went and played with a cat, that's your time and it's a way to do charitable giving. I mean, it's amazing.
It is. And we need all the help we can get. We have a staff of about 90 full-time people, which sounds like a lot, but it's really
not. With 18,000 dogs and all of the other things you have to do.
Right, and taking care of all the animal care laws and things. So we rely a lot on our volunteers. I believe our volunteers donated the equivalent of almost 40 full-time staff members' time last year.
Unbelievable.
So volunteers do a lot for PMA Animal Care. We always need more folks, and we really try to make it a fun experience.
And talk about fostering. Can you foster?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's another way.
So it's one of my favorite subjects.
Oh my
God. I have a story to share with you.
Oh, you do? Okay.
So go ahead.
I love fostering. So fostering is a special volunteer opportunity where, so say you aren't ready to take a pet permanently into your home, you can foster a pet. And a pet who needs foster is a pet who isn't doing so well in the shelter for whatever reason. So it might be a baby kitten who is too small to be placed up for adoption, and that kitten needs bottle feeding, or, you know, 4 weeks of eating soft food in your bathroom until he or she can come back and get spayed and neutered and placed up for adoption. Fostering might be an injured pet who has a broken bone or who is recovering from surgery on their eye or their mouth. Fostering could be a big dog who is just not getting what he or she needs in that small kennel. You know, dogs who experience what we call kennel stress, you get them out of the shelter, they're completely different animals. So we have many pets who just need to get out of the shelter, and that's actually one of my incoming director's big goals for PMA Animal Care Center is to grow our foster program because they did that really successfully in Austin. So to foster, you just sign up on our website. You fill out a short application. We have you come in for a brief training, and we send you home with a pet. You don't pay for any of the medical care for the pet. We tried to send you with all of the food, kitty litter, treats and toys. Those are all provided by donors. So if we're running low on something, we just need more donations. But we try to make it so that there's nothing you provide other than the spare room and the love.
Right. And your time. Because
it
could be time intensive if it's a pet that really is in need. So do the... what would the record show in terms of, do people really foster or do a lot of them end up keeping the pet?
To run that report. There are a high number of foster, we call them foster fails in our business. And we love that. We're like, great.
It's the perfect, the story I have to share is that our daughter Katie got a foster.
Oh.
And she is in LA, and it's a miracle story. It's a story, like, I will start crying about love. The dog is named Luna. My husband just got back from visiting Katie, and it's a really special dog. It's they're two peas in a pod. They're alike in personality. And what James has observed just by watching the connection between those two, it's been transformative for both of them. So I can't wait.
And that's awesome.
And when she said she's fostering a dog and we saw the picture, we were like, I didn't know that term then, but yeah, right. That dog's not going back anytime soon.
So we love it when people keep the dogs, but we also love it when they bring back the dogs or cats, because then they have room in their home for the next ones.
Yes.
But either way's fine. We, keep that pet or adopt it out to one of your friends or your family or your coworkers. That happens a lot too. The fewer pets that we can get from coming back into the shelter, except, you know, of course, we need to spay and neuter and vaccinate everybody before they go to their final home, the better.
But I think that's an important distinction to make for people listening that don't feel as though if you don't want to adopt, you shouldn't foster.
Fostering's awesome.
Awesome.
And
need help.
Yes, we need help.
And to keep that spot open, it's like foster parents. Keeping that home open for the next possibility or the next need is good. And it's certainly not a failure. It's helping you guys out with a lot. I don't even know what else to talk about because I'm so high on all these things you told me. And we talk about a content-rich show, but I'll get back here. So there are many volunteer opportunities. The one thing I wanted to ask you, it's very well done with people that come in to Chapman. And I've learned a lot on how the process works, which I think makes it a better interview. But your volunteers or your team, they know, like they'll say, this dog is not good with children under five, or this dog is better, not good with other animals. When they are in a shelter in Pima Animal Care, how do you know that? You don't have three-year-olds playing, how do you know the personalities and really help to make the adoption successful?
The reality is that for a lot of our dogs, we don't know because they come in as strays. So we can only document what we observe there, with the caveat that if we see a dog who is a stray being reactive to another dog, we know that negative behavior might not happen when the dog's happy and in a home, right?
Got it. So
if somebody, if you surrendered a dog to us, which you wouldn't do, you might need to, and we'd be there for you. That's what we do. And we ask you a lot of questions, like, how does your dog do with children? How did your dog do with people they don't know? How does your pet do with other pets? And then we share that information. And we try to be very transparent with our prospective adopters and let them know everything we know so that they can make an informed choice for their family.
And if someone does bring a dog to you, you don't charge them, right? There's not a
fee?
Correct.
There is no fee. There is no fee.
Okay.
That's our
tax dollars at work. And I want people to know that. That's a really good use of my tax dollars.
Right.
I'll sign up for that all day long so that you can do that. Okay, let's talk about another good thing while we still have time. The new building.
Oh my gosh.
What's going on? It's like ring the bell show.
There's a lot of good things happening for Pima Animal Care right now, which we need because it's our most challenging time
today.
Of year. Yeah. So we, in November of 2014, Pima County voters passed Proposition 415 to allow us to build a new animal care center. Current facility was built in the late 60s as a pound when we weren't a life-saving organization, when no county shelters were life-saving organizations. So our new phase one of our community's new animal welfare center is going up. The walls are up. They're going to put the things on the top soon, like the ceilings. And it's going to be phase one is all new. It's a new clinic, a new adoptions area, admissions area, field services area, everything. That'll be open December of 2018. And then the whole project will be done in December 2017. It's going to open phase one, July 2018. Phase two will be done.
And there'll be invitations to that happy celebration.
Absolutely.
That Mrs. Green will be receiving one of.
Of course you will. Well, we'd love to have you there.
And some of the Chapman people.
Oh, yes.
They are so into this.
I know
they
are.
It's just really amazing.
Awesome.
They really are. I can't say enough about it. Karen, that is awesome. I had no idea it was that soon. Is it out at the same location?
It is. I can see it through my office window. It's like a gift from the heavens. Every day I look at it and I'm like so glad that this is coming for the pets and people of our community.
Everything has changed so much.
Think
about that. That's what, 50 years.
I know.
Maybe a little over.
It's so much better.
I'm not good
at doing
math
on that. It's still a hard job. You still have a lot of work to do, but things are on the up and up.
So I want to just do very quickly, our show on July 4th is Ryan Bigelow from Seafood Watch. And boy, do I know a lot about seafood. And my advice would be try not to eat it. But if you do, make sure you know where it's from and that it's on the approved list. And then we have a Down to Earth show with Dan Hogan from TEP, Operation Weatherization. The last shout out is yours.
Thank you. I want to say thank you to the family that sponsored this show. That's really nice.
That is really nice.
It's awesome. Thank you.
And thanks. That puts a catch in my throat. And I hope that they listen. And I hope the foundation listens and keep up your good work. It was an honor to hear all this and to be a part of it.
My pleasure.
Make it a great green week, everybody.